Gift certificates to Designing Dinner Sagewood North Cafe are the perfect gift for everyone. Gift certificates can be used for take and bake meals and sides, or for lunch at Sagewood North Cafe too, where they serve up delicious made from scratch salmon soups, including seafood bisque, every Friday. Pick up desserts, brownies, and cookies while you're there. Designing Dinner Sagewood North Cafe, open weekdays for lunch from 11 till 3 and from 9 till 5 for dinner pickup. See menus online at designing-dinners.com and call ahead for order pickup at 674-2460.
Talking with Bill at Tales of the City with the best food for your pets. What's even better than that? Getting it for free.
Nature's Logic, Nutrisource, and the From, we have a buy 12, get one free. And we keep track of it. No more cutting out coupons and saving your receipts and all that. Sometimes you just walk in and you see your name on a bag and that's your free bag. Come on in, take advantage of the customer loyalty program, and you don't have to do a thing.
Join the loyalty program at Tales of the City, 218 West Burkett.
The holidays are here, and the Cozy Corner Gift Shop, just inside Sheridan Memorial Hospital, has something for everyone on your nice list. When you shop at the Cozy Corner, you're not only buying a gift, you're also giving back. We donate all of the proceeds to the Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation to support hospital projects. From decorations to clothing, we have all of your holiday essentials. Stop by and find the perfect gift today, and Merry Christmas from all of your Cozy Corner volunteers.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, December 9th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Wyoming Highway Patrol Captain Eric Jorgensen. Good morning, sir. Welcome back.
Morning, Floyd. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing all right. It's been kind of a busy season, and with the holiday season comes a lot of travel.
Yeah.
Recent AAA forecasts show record numbers. Around 82 million people traveled for Thanksgiving, mostly by car. And they estimate over 119 million for the Christmas New Year period, which will actually make these really peak times for travel. Do you kind of see a reflection of that? I mean, do the roads get really busy?
Yeah, definitely. We'll start to see it, especially so I think most colleges, this is finals week this week. Mm-hmm. So starting this weekend into then all of next week, you're going to see a lot of the college kids traveling. So we're going to start to see that. That kind of introduces the heavy travel for the Christmas New Year time frame is the college kids getting out of school. So yeah. Like Sheridan College will wrap up this week, UW will wrap up this week. I think Bozeman wraps up this week as well. So just even locally within our area, I think Black Hills wraps up this week. So you're going to see a lot of kids on the road, like they're going to start heading out.
And that's kind of the season opener and that, for you.
Exactly, yeah. So we start to see them moving through, kids with cars loaded up that they're headed home. And so,
can't see out the back window.
Can't see out, exactly, yeah. Can't see out the back window. You get the mattress every once in a while strapped to the top of the Civic, and you're like, I like that kid. I like that kid. He tried to do the apartment gig and stole a mattress from mom and dad, and he's got to take it back so he can sleep on it when he gets home.
That's like, right.
Oh,
man, that's funny because I have seen that. I've also seen mattresses on the road.
Oh yeah.
I can remember one incident. I won't get too far off in the weeds, but there was a mattress in the road. I saw it. Apparently the guy in front of me did not. I thought for sure you can't miss a mattress.
Yeah,
but holy goodness, did he hit that thing and just ripped it right in half. Surprised me.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible. But, terrible.
What? Yeah, we definitely see a lot more traffic this time of year. A lot of folks headed to and from to see family, some on just regular vacations as well. They get the kids home, the kids are off school. And then it'll really pick up probably for us around the 20th of December. Most schools, so like Sheridan School, Bighorn, Tongue River, they'll be out. Their last day of school will be either the 18th or 19th of December.
Okay.
And so then when we have families now that are no longer in school, kids can take a break. That's when vacation starts. And then so that week leading up to Christmas, to the 25th, we'll see a lot of traffic.
Man, some of the worst weather kind of hits around.
We're getting some weather this week, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's traveling over the mountain. at all this week, please use caution. There's areas that are calling for a good 10 inches of snow. Antelope Butte is pretty stoked about it. I'm hoping they can open by next week. That's what I keep hearing. So that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of do a little cross country this year.
There you go.
It's a little hard to do in the dirt. So.
we do the snowshoeing. So not the cross country skiing, but the snowshoeing, which is a lot of fun. So get up around. One of our favorite trails is to go up around Sibley. So to go up Sibley and hit the trail, go all the way back to the warming hut, hang out at the warming hut for a little bit, and then loop our way back down. It's a lot of fun.
What does it look like at the peak right now?
I mean, there's areas up there. I was just looking at the High Mountain Lodge, which is off of 14A, kind of back towards the Medicine Wheel. And they're showing 15, 18, 20 inches of snow back up in there.
My goodness.
So we're starting to get some good snow, maybe even more when you get further back in. So
it's really kind of finally arrived.
It has shown up, and this week we're going to see a lot of it, I think.
So over the Thanksgiving weekend, was that kind of an easier one this year because there wasn't such weather, to your memory?
I mean, we definitely had some that Friday evening when the stroll was going on. I mean, you want to talk about postcard right? The stroll was gorgeous. And so that did mess up the roads a little bit for us on Friday night. It was a little slippery, but it wasn't horrible. People still did pretty well getting around. We didn't have a ton of incidences, so it worked well.
When they start to take off, the early indicators are the college students. What unique challenges does the holiday present for you, your team, and drivers that's different than, say, regular bad weather weekend?
So for us, we also, I mean, every one of these guys that we're not robots, right? So they have families too.
Yeah.
So we want to try and give them some time off, give them an opportunity to go see some friends and see some family. So we still try to maintain fair coverage, but we're going to work shorthanded a little bit too, so we can allow our people to go take some time off and be with their family. So we're going to have some troops that'll be off. And then you've got the increase in traffic, different than a normal bad weather day, right? Because you've got all of this. I mean, we're looking at 119 million people traveling. That's a lot of extra traffic on the road. You still have all of your other normal travel that you're going to now add all of this onto. So it just, you're multiplying the number of people that are out there. You're getting people that don't typically drive on these roads. Like normal bad days, we have a bad storm that comes in this afternoon. The people that are going to be driving on it are the people that are your typical commuters. You coming back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. Are normal folks that are driving back during the holiday season. You're putting people on those roads that don't have experience. We had a funny call. It makes me chuckle. I'm glad that they're safe. Glad everybody's okay. Family from Arizona driving over the mountains, slid off the road twice after their second time of sliding off the road. They called and said, "We want a tow truck to drive us off the mountain. We are tired of sliding off the road."
Yeah.
They just don't have experience driving on the road. They slid off the road twice. They're like, "Just get me off of this mountain. I don't want to be in this weather anymore.
We're going to be here forever."
We're going to like, this is Donner Pass for us. Like, that's what they're thinking. This is horrible. So you put those people into inclement weather, difficult situations. It just adds to, because now they're typically, right, if it was you or I, we would just be like, "We'll figure a way out." Yeah. But that's now a call that we're sending an officer to that's pulling them away from maybe down here on the interstate, taking care of things, getting people load down here, because they're going and helping that family that doesn't have the experience of driving on those roads. So,
what a great
point.
Adds
it.
And you know, I don't tend to think about that. I you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I tend to think, you know, well, if you're on the road in Wyoming, you're probably from Wyoming. But that's not true during the holiday season.
No.
We're going to get a lot of folks who've never really seen this kind of extreme weather before. And so we've got to be a little courteous to those individuals and try to be a little more understanding as we're trying to live around it as well.
100%. And I love that you said that, because it just goes to that, as we, and I've brought this up so many times on this show, like we've got to be patient. We've got to plan ahead, give ourselves time to get to where we need to go. It's the old military, right? If you're 15 minutes early, you're on time. Mm-hmm. If you're on time, you're late.
You're late.
Like give yourself time to get to where you need to go, because we're going to add all that extra traffic. You're going to have those people that are scared out of their minds driving 20 miles an hour with their hazards on, white knuckling, just trying to chew on their steering wheel because they're so scared. And let's give them a little grace. Let them get to where they need to go. Help them out where you can. Answer the question too, right? Like, you get the person, I get it all the time, go into Maverick, grab something to drink, and hey, how are the roads from here to here? And, you know, if it's somebody that they know, recognize you as a local, would be like, I bet this person lives here, and they're going to ask you, hey, what's it like driving? You know, give them a little grace. Be like, hey, you're going to be just fine. It's going to be all right. So
just give yourself plenty of time.
Yes.
Now, what's the most common mistakes that you see motorists make when they're preparing for these long trips on these types of roads?
There's not gas stations every 10 miles. That's a big one. People not realizing that there's a stretch from one town to the next town. And sometimes the only gas station is the gas station in Casey, Wyoming that you can get fuel in, and you better stop. Because if you think you're going to make it the rest of the way to Casper, the rest of the way to Buffalo, you're not. So that's a big one that I see a lot of. Or they live by this very strict schedule, and so they're trying to hustle to get, okay, we have to leave here at this time so we can get to grandma's at this time, and then we'll spend an hour and 17 minutes there so then we can get to this. Give yourself time to travel. If the roads are going to be bad, that's going to slow you down. Don't get in a hurry. Don't rush. Take your time. Be safe. And get there when you can.
And the family wants you to get there.
Yeah, so, right? Right, you know, exactly.
If you're an hour, quote-unquote, late, then, hey, weather, travel. And I'm glad you brought up the gas stations. My wife and I took a vacation, I think it was 2 years ago, and we decided to take a different route, went across that red desert. Mm. There's not a lot out there, brother.
No.
And we were on the last square, and I thought, holy cow, I hope we've got a signal. But just at the very end, when I'm pretty sure we were on fumes, out popped that gas station at the end of that drive. Yeah. And we thanked the gods of travel and pulled in. Oh, man, that was a close one. Closer than I ever want to get again. So I would echo the captain's recommendation. You see a gas station, fill it up.
Especially this time of year, half a tank of gas, you're on empty.
Yep.
Just get into that mentality. And my wife and I are very different. My wife drives until the light comes on and is like, oh, I got to get fuel. I look at it as, hey, I got a half a tank of gas. I should probably go fill up here before too long.
Yep.
And we are very different people. And we've been married for 21 years and we have a wonderful relationship, but we are different people when it comes to that.
Say one makes up for the other.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes.
My wife, the exact opposite, because she actually told me before we pulled off into the red desert, she said, you think we should fuel up? Nah. Nah. Now I take her recommendation. Okay, let's move on down the line. Driver fatigue. This is another one that you and I talk about quite a bit. I looked up some numbers today and was pretty shocked. This is a major danger on the road.
I've seen it. I've seen other states now as well. You know, we have our overhead message boards, and I'm seeing in other states, I think I saw it in Montana and in, I believe it was Colorado, where they're actually putting messages up on their overhead signs saying, hey, if you're tired, pull over. Fatigue driving is like driving impaired. Be cautious. And it's a long ways across Wyoming, right? It's a bit of a drive for me to take a drive down to Cheyenne. It's 4.5 hours, no matter which way you slice it. And you're still in Wyoming after 4.5 hours. And that's a short one. I went to Rock Springs last week. That's 5.5 hours from here to Rock Springs. So yeah, it takes you a while to get across this state. And there's some lonely stretches of road. So be aware. Use caution with that. If you feel like you're getting tired, man, pull over to the side of the road. Do some jumping jacks. Get that blood flowing a little bit. Pull into a rest area. Walk back and forth on the sidewalk there for a little bit. Get the rest that you need to drive. And then make sure that you're stopping enough. I know I'm horrible at it when I'm going somewhere, especially if it's a long drive. I just want to get there. So I push myself a lot to just get there. It's a 10, 12 hour drive. I just want to get there. and I'm kind of trying to beat my GPS, right? Like my GPS says that I can get there in this amount of time, and I'm like, I can beat that, right? I look at it as a challenge, right? Let's not do that over the holidays, people. We shouldn't do that, period. But let's make sure that we're stretching your legs and get that blood flowing and make sure that you're awake and alert, because it's not just the you being able to stay in your lane, but what happens is you get so fatigued that, sure, you're able to stay in your lane. You can see the lines and you're able to go, but that hazard that comes out of nowhere, you crest the hill, yeah, and there's a crash, and now your reaction time is so much more delayed because you're so tired. So give yourself time. Take your time getting there. Stop. Let the kids run around the car with you. Please don't let them run in the highway.
Yeah.
I don't want kids running in the highway. Let me make sure that I clarify that. But get rest. Make sure that you can get to where you need to go safely.
And, you know, I don't think people really understand, unless they do it, you know, as a practice, what that really does. When I was driving for the military across the state a few times, there was a couple of recruits you had to take from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've learned about our freeway system, we put that system in a place where it wouldn't bother anybody.
Yes.
And as you said, some of that can be pretty lonely, as yes, in there's not even a mountain out there to say hi to. There's yes, just nothing out there. And I'd have to pull over just to make sure that we all made it there safe. And that's what I would do. Jumping jacks mostly, because mm-hmm, they're right there on the side of the road. Just kind of get, you know, if it's warm out, make sure I got cool water. Mm-hmm. Wakes me up. If it's cold out, then I'd jump outside without a coat. Mm. And that brisk wind will wake you up,
yes,
real quick.
Yes, it will.
So,
yes, it will.
Yes, definitely take that recommendation, folks, because believe it or not, it does work. I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Wyoming Highway Patrol captain right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The team at First Federal Bank and Trust is once again partnered with Sheridan Media for our annual Christmas Wish campaign, a campaign to help people who've fallen on temporary hard times.
Our team at First Federal Bank and Trust is committed to helping individuals and families in our community who need a helping hand up. Our commitment has been and continues to be our community. In years past, the Christmas Wish program has provided gift certificates for groceries, gifts for children, and paying bills. I invite you to join the First Federal Bank and Trust team in supporting the Christmas Wish campaign.
Okay, did you know that sis boom ba is actually the sound made when a sheep explodes? Well, the same goes for you, fixing or tuning up your own 4x4, snowmobile, or side-by-side. Because you won't do it, and if you do it, you'll do it wrong. Hando Service Center, where they've been fixing and tuning up these machines for decades. So don't doom your machine to a DIY slow death. And if you need to haul it to the shop, for a small fee, Joe will even come and get it. Hando's on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
We're giving away $2,000 in Sheridan Commercial Company gift cards. Ho, ho, ho. Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. Beginning Thursday, December 11th, and every weekday until Monday, December 22nd, we're giving away $250 in gift cards. That's five $50 gift card winners each weekday. Come in and register today and every day. Our first drawing is this Thursday. Sign up now. Merry Christmas from all of us at the Sheridan Commercial Company at 303 Broadway.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Sheridan, every child deserves a Christmas. The Marine Corps Toys for Tots would like you to be part of this year's toy drive. Register, donate, or volunteer at sheridan-wy.toysfortots.org. Distribution is December 17th through at 151 West Brundage Street. Hope is only a gift away.
The Hometown Shopping Sweepstakes is back.
Shop local first.
ERA Carroll Realty and Rage are back with the Hometown Shopping Sweepstakes. Three lucky winners win over $1,000 in gift certificates and chamber bucks from our Sheridan and Buffalo merchants. And we've tied into a national campaign to give you a chance at winning a $15,000 cash prize, too.
You could win $1,000 in prizes from retailers like True Build Builders, Black Sheep Barbershop, Kraft Brothers Music, Nova's Glass, Pine Top Soda Shop, and Bino's Corner.
Just go to the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. You can enter daily through December 9th. And a big thank you to Range and ERA Carroll Realty for helping us celebrate the holiday season.
Shop local first. All across the area, shop here first.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. Speaking with me this morning, Wyoming Highway Patrol Captain Eric Jorgensen. We're sharing some war stories of driving across the state during some of the worst weather. It once took me 16 hours to get from Star Valley to Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Oh, man, that's a day.
And you were just, during the break, you were telling me a story about Little America. It was right on that stretch of road.
Yep.
We were doing about 23 miles an hour at the height. I mean, that you were cooking if you were doing that at the time. And the amount of slush that was on the road.
Ooh.
It was just sending cars and trucks off to the side. You've seen it, the old herringbone, right?
Yeah, just off
to the side like crazy. So it can get tough out there, and as the captain has said, no one is immune from this. Sometimes, no matter the amount of experience you've got, you still get tired.
Yeah.
You're still going to slide around. Take your time, folks. You know, sometimes it's that individual who thinks they've got it mastered that ends up causing the accident.
Yeah, for sure.
Now,
a little overconfidence.
That can be your enemy. Captain, with the holiday season comes holiday parties. Now, I spoke with the SPD about this, but you see it as well. You see it out there on the highway, people trying to maybe get out to Claremont, Ranchester, get back from the big party. What would you like folks to know?
Yeah, enjoy yourself, right? Go have fun. Please, please go have fun, but do so responsibly. Make sure that you have a way to get home. Most of these parties have some adult beverages, and if you're going to partake, find a way home that's not yourself, and plan that ahead. Don't show up and be like, ah, somebody will get me home. Don't do that. Make sure that you be that responsible individual and plan ahead, plan accordingly, that somebody's going to be that driver to get you home. Somebody's going to be there to make sure that this person's going to be the one that's driving everybody home. If I owned a business and I knew that we were going to have a company Christmas party every year, there would be one of my employees that's your job. Look, this year, your job at the Christmas party is that you're making sure everybody gets home.
You
that's
got the
your
short
job.
Straw or
you
the
drew
long
the short
straw.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what you're going to do. And so for anybody that does manage or own a company and you guys have a Christmas party, do that.
Yeah.
Be smart and do that. Get that taken care of right away and then have a blast. Enjoy it. This is a great time to get people together, to have fun, to catch up, to kind of relax a little bit and not be stuffy in your cubicle anymore, right? Like get to know somebody and be like, why is that guy so weird? And you're like, after the Christmas party, you're like, I get it now, but he's kind of cool. Even though he's a little weird, I get it now, right? Like it's okay to do that and it's good to do that. It builds good relationships within the workplace. Like they're important things to do. But let's do it safely and let's do it responsibly and make sure that we're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
So, because there will be cops out there. There will be troopers out there. There will be PD. The SO is going to be out there. And if you mess up, we're going to take you to jail. Like that's what's going to happen. And don't let that be a black mark on your life. Like don't let that. And going to jail, honestly, is probably the best thing for you in that situation. The last thing I want you to do is end up hurting yourself or somebody else because of that decision that you made.
Yeah.
So let's make sure that we're doing that the right way and doing that well.
Let's keep the holiday season happy this year.
Yeah.
For everybody involved. Now, let's talk about some winter driving. Snow, ice, major culprits, Wyoming severe winter conditions, blowing snow, blizzards, severe winds, drastically reducing visibility. This is something that you talk about every year. You allow folks to brave the slick road. If you think you can make it, head on out, take time. But once visibility goes down the drain, you close the road.
Correct. That's truly what we look at. I'm not so much concerned about what the road surface itself looks like. What I'm mostly concerned about is whether or not people can see. if the road service is garbage, but you can see for a mile, I'm going to let you drive. We're not shutting the road down. We're going to try and get plowed to try and help improve the road surface as best we can, but we're not going to shut. Usually the only thing that we're shutting for is visibility. When you can no longer see what's in front of you, we're going to be closing the roads. That is absolutely the most important thing for us. We can drive with caution. We can drive slow and safe with good visibility to get from point A to point B. That can happen. Again, that goes back to how well you're taking care of your car as well. Do you have good tires? Is your car mechanically sound to travel on these difficult roads? But when you can't see, I can't see, the next guy coming down the road can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last thing, is somebody driving over top of somebody else. They just didn't know they were there. So yeah, as you're looking and forecasting your travel plans, as you're looking at what the weather is going to do over this Christmas year's holiday, pay attention to the forecast. Look at that. If you think that, man, today we're supposed to see 60 mile an hour wind gusts today. It's going to be a very, very windy. Thank goodness we don't have a ton of snow on the ground to cause those visibility issues. If it does start to snow though, with 60 mile an hour winds, we'll probably be looking at closing the road. Like that's, mm-hmm. We've got stretches of road between here and Buffalo that get really nasty near the county line. And we just have to keep you guys safe. And not allow traffic on there when you can't see. But if you can see, we're going to keep the roads open.
And you know, the way Wyoming is set up, and I know a lot of people say this about their states, but in Wyoming, it is truer than any other. And that is, you could be driving on a stretch of road, feeling great. Boy, I could see for miles. You dip down into a valley, and that disappears instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Piney Creek is a rough little area.
Yes, it is.
And I know a lot of folks who go from here to Buffalo and vice versa. And boy, that's the first place everybody always asks about.
Yep.
When you are checking road conditions, where do you go?
So one of the first places I go, honestly, is to the state line. We have a very different weather pattern, which is so strange, again, just off of what we have for geography, how weather moves around the mountain. The state line up towards Aberdeen Hill into Montana, for about the last 3 miles of the state, can be very different weather than what we see even in Ranchester and in town.
Wow.
So that's one of the first places, because it's not far. So it's easy to get to. I can run up to the state line and check it out and be like, okay, what's the state line look like? That one's probably one of those two that sticks in my head. I've had my patrol car struck twice.
Oh, wow.
Well, during my 10 years that I've lived here, up at the state line. So there's maybe a little bit of that psychological, right, in the back of your head, yeah. A little trauma response, right, that I'm going to go see what that looks like just to see how it is. And then I go from there exactly to what you said, and I head down towards Piney Creek, check our VSLs, check what our variable speed limits are looking. Do they fit? Are they where they need to be? Do we need to lower them? Do we need to raise them? We've got to maintain validity to those speeds, right? When it's dry and it says 55, people get a little cranky.
Yeah.
So we got to maintain validity in those signs. So get down there, check those signs, and see what the weather looks like. That's really kind of my two real quick, shoot up to the state line and then head down south and look at what that looks like.
And you know, folks, I'm not here to chastise anybody, but when it says 65 on those signs, it's 65 outside.
Yes, it's there for a reason.
Yeah, it's there for a reason. I know a lot of us want to get to work. A lot of us want to get moving. I drive over here every day. And sure enough, it'll say 65, and someone says, nah, it should be about 70, 75.
Mm-hmm.
And they go flying past. You're creating a bit of a risk. And as I said, I'm not chastising you. I'm just saying they're mm-hmm. going to be looking for you.
Yes.
So make sure that you're obeying those speed limits that are out there, folks. Is there anything else you would like folks to know head into the holiday season and really start dipping into the winter season?
Well, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope you get to spend some time with family, and I hope you get to enjoy some time with your families. For those that may have a loved one that is no longer with you, my condolences to you during this holiday season. I know that can be rough. So if you know of somebody that has lost somebody, make sure that you reach out and be that friend, be that buddy, be that person that's checking in on the emotional health of your friends during this time of year. Because sometimes the holidays aren't always joyful for everyone.
Yeah.
And sometimes they can be pretty hard. So make sure you're checking on your friends and your family during this holiday season that may be struggling this time of year. Take some time, lend an ear, give them a shoulder, and take care of each other. That's for sure, first and foremost. And then just prepare yourself for the roads and prepare yourself because it's coming. And I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of snow this year. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about this year, but I have a feeling.
The old knee aching or something?
Yeah, so I will be gone. I'm leaving. I got accepted into a leadership academy.
Oh, fantastic.
That I leave for on January 4th, and I'll be gone until the end of March. So it is my wife taking care of everything here. So just karma, just Murphy is going to be like, you're gone and your wife is going to have to deal with the winter.
Yeah.
And so I'm like preparing her, like, this is how you use the snowblower, babe. This is how you do. Like, I'm worried about it and I probably shouldn't. She's a very capable woman and she's a fantastic woman and she's going to do well, but just the husband and me, the dad and me, my daughter will still be here too. Like, I'll be in Quantico, Virginia for 3 months.
Well, congratulations on that acceptance.
It'll be a lot of fun, but yeah, I think we're going to get a lot of snow this year.
I just
am feeling it.
Merry Christmas,
Captain. Hey, Merry Christmas to you too, buddy.
Thanks for coming in. It's always great talking to you. When we come back, we're going to speak with the Sheridan County Conservation District. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The team at First Federal Bank and Trust is once again partnered with Sheridan Media for our annual Christmas Wish campaign, a campaign to help people who've fallen on temporary hard times.
Our team at First Federal Bank and Trust is committed to helping individuals and families in our community who need a helping hand up. Our commitment has been and continues to be our community. In years past, the Christmas Wish program has provided gift certificates for groceries, gifts for children, and paying bills. I invite you to join the First Federal Bank and Trust team in supporting the Christmas Wish campaign.
Hello, Wyoming. This is your Congresswoman, Harriet Hageman. With my legislative agenda, I continue to prioritize deregulation, energy dominance, defending your constitutional liberties, and preserving Wyoming's way of life. From unwinding the Biden administration's policies on western lands and resources, to keeping rural mail operating effectively, to protecting Wyoming truckers, drivers, and roads, I spend each day with your priorities as my focus. By acting as a liaison between you and federal agencies, my office has returned over $14 million to Wyoming citizens and businesses. If you have a tax dispute or need help with the VA, the Social Security Administration, or another agency, please call my office at 307-261-6595 or go to hageman.house.gov. Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
I'm with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness, and I hear you're bringing the madness to catering.
Tommy, hi. We sure are. Our teriyaki bar feeds up to 10 humans. You pick one protein and two bases, white rice, brown rice, fried rice, or noodles, and each bar comes with our stir-fry veggies.
That sounds delicious.
And if you need more, just add another teriyaki bar or grab a couple a la carte trays. We make it crazy easy. Hey, and tell everyone you made it. We won't tell.
Bring the madness to your next event with Teriyaki Madness on Coffeen Avenue behind Scooters.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes the hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial-grade R-panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact-resistant 24-gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local experience you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and for our second part this morning, I am joined by the Sheridan County Conservation District Manager, Carrie Rogacheski, and USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service District Conservationist, Andrew Cassidy. Good morning and welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great having you guys in here. Every time you come in here, we always have so much to talk about, and I never end up getting through it all. But I really appreciate you guys because that shows me you guys are doing so much out there and so much for landowners around here. We just can't fit it in. So let's just jump right into it. You recently held a rancher's night out. How'd it go?
I think it went well. As the past ones did, it's just a really great opportunity for folks to talk among themselves in a very informal setting. My perspective was it went well.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was the third installment. This one was out in Bighorn. We've kind of chose to bounce those around the county to catch different people and kind of showcase some of our local businesses too.
And this is all put together by the Working Lands Collaborative, of which the district is actually a member.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Who else is involved in that collaborative?
So several just landowners, private landowners. That's kind of how it started. Some local folks come into the district and asking for some, I guess, with some ideas on programming and some other topics for workshops. So so several landowners, the Sheridan Community Land Trust, Powder River Basin Resource Council has been involved at times, UW Extension, Pheasants Forever. I'm sure I'm forgetting something.
Yeah, it's a real loose
loosey-goosey
group. And
people kind of come
whomever.
And go.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But all kind of with the interest in growing our local knowledge community and networking within, so many cool and interesting things happening around the country and world, and trying to bring that home to our neighborhood, I guess. And so that, if you've got something you're interested in, or you have seen something and wonder what it'd be like, maybe there's someone else who's already done it.
Yeah.
And so that we can have those resources to draw on.
So. This latest one dealt with something that landowners brought to you, which I thought was fantastic. It's something that, the image of the tough landowner and the tough cowboy and producer doesn't really do very often, and that is emotional and mental health. Yes. And I really liked that. How did it go?
I think it went really well. As when we had talked about doing something like this, there was some concern about it being too heavy, quote unquote, of a topic, but we also kind of thought that maybe the informal atmosphere was the perfect place to kind of have some conversation about this heavy topic. We had Ann Perkins, a community resource, community prevention specialist. She talked a bit about resources out there that are available to not just ranchers, but all sorts of folks. And then folks either... whether if they wanted to, they talked about it some more at their own tables, privately. And I did hear some of that going on. And then some chose not to talk about that, but wanted to talk about some other things and other things that are going on with their operations or in their circles. And that was perfectly fine. But yeah, I thought it went pretty well.
It did. And I think a good way to kind of begin that conversation, we're real fortunate. There are a number of resources locally and nationally for free mental health assistance, kind of the group sort of things and the one and those things, but also just recognizing that this is a challenge at some level for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's up and down and it's different for everybody and it's different day by day. And
no group is excluded from impacted.
Right.
And the stress even the tough on a landowner. I mean, the stress that they endure, and we're going to make the quota this year. We're going to be, and then you've got things like the fire, which this group really addressed. And I really appreciated that because, I do a lot of talking in here, but
and you're good at.
Well, and I appreciate that. But these individuals, their lives involve a lot of different struggles.
Yeah.
And so with the Working Lands Collaborative addressing this issue, I really do appreciate it, and I want to say that from the bottom of my heart. It is something, it is heavy, and I'm glad that at least in that non-formal setting, everyone was able to sit down, and those who wanted to talk about it could talk about it. The door was open.
And it put the thought in their heads, I guess, that that it is an issue, and maybe they won't talk about it there, but they at least have that understanding that that it's out there.
A cup of coffee at a kitchen table can be a therapy session.
Yeah. Or pizza and a beer.
That's right. Or pizza and a beer. Exactly.
I did want to just real quick on what Andrew was saying about the collaborative, you know, bringing in knowledge from outside areas, whether it's international or national or other state, to grow that knowledge base. But the Ranchers Night Out takes it that next step and acknowledging that we have a lot of knowledge here too. And that's kind of the purpose of these is networking among each other. What's working? What's not working? Have you tried this? Or, you know, and just kind of seeing some different things. So trying to meld both of those, outside knowledge with inside knowledge.
And we're all in community too. And that's a real important piece. You know, the knowledge transfer doesn't happen unless we have community. And somebody made the comment at one of the early, one of these Ranchers Night Outs that it's great to see you. We only see each other at funerals. So
Setting.
Right. Let's have something just for community's sake. And so that's kind of been the focus.
Have you seen these, kind of become something a little different? I mean, I would imagine some hesitation during the first Ranchers Night Out, learning about, okay, what is this going to be, you know? Mm-hmm. And now, is it people showing up going, oh, it's good to see you, and let's sit down?
For sure. Even the moving it around, we still have some of the same folks coming in. They're driving from all over.
That's fantastic.
Area part, you know, so we have some repeat offenders, if you will, that continue to come, which is great. And then we get some new folks at different times. And, you know, certain times someone's not going to be able to come to all of them, and we get that. But, yeah, still it's just that opening that doorway and providing that space for that conversation.
That's something we're hoping to continue maybe a couple times a year. A
couple times a year is kind of what we're thinking. Last year it was December, April, and probably will be similar for this year because the summer just gets to be too much.
Pretty busy.
Pretty busy anyway, and we're also then at those times kind of working through the workshop pieces that the collaborative, that's the other arm of what the collaborative really focuses on, is these Ranchers Nights Out and then the workshops series. So doing some of those and field days in the summer, so probably twice a year for the Ranchers Night Out.
So are we thinking maybe spring?
Yes. Or
the next one?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic.
And then a workshop, tentatively don't have specific dates yet and the specific speaker. We've had some conversations with a gentleman out of Canada that does a lot of what do you call it, business, ranching enterprise type works and different
more
aspects
of
things. Yeah, some of the financial pieces for mid-February-ish maybe.
Oh, that's incredibly
we don't have
helpful.
The exact dates yet, and then some sort of field trip or field day in the summer again.
All right, that's great to hear. Keep me posted on that. We'll get that
Will
up
do.
For everybody as soon as possible. Let's talk about some of this district supported short-term fire mitigation work, debris removal,
yes,
fencing replacement.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
So, a lot of reservoir clean out. Either has been done or is in the works. We had about $160,000 that we were able to bring in from this grants and other sources that has mostly all been obligated, not all spent yet. Some of the projects, they're taking a little time, not quite done yet, but moving through that. And then hopefully maybe this spring trying to look for some additional funding to continue that, because we know the work even though the fire is done, we are still seeing debris or impacts from additional sediment, debris whenever we get some sort of big storm event or runoff.
Yeah, we
event.
Were pretty worried about it for the spring, but it really didn't happen.
Until later in the
but
summer.
But midsummer, there were in several spots, you know, got a kind of a gully washer rain, and here comes the mud and the ash.
Yeah, yeah.
Again this fall in some other areas. So trying to be responsive to that, you know, one of the many pieces of I guess we'll call it programmatic help available, but that trying to get at some things that are, you know, gaps in other programs and things like that.
Now, when it comes to the workshops and a lot of the things that you've explored out there, are we implementing this stuff right now, or are we in the works of implementing that?
So with the workshops per se, you know, I feel like there are some people implementing some of those things that we've talked about at the various workshops. There's probably also some folks that kind of want to or are interested but don't know how to get started. And that's the other kind of piece that the collaborative is kind of talking about, is trying to see, okay, what can we do to get to the next step? What is it that people need? So that's the other piece. And then related to the fire stuff, I mean, that's... people are implementing things, but trying to fit it in among the rest of their ranching operation or their day-to-day. And so sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of back and forth on some of that.
And trying to rebuild.
Yes.
As you're also trying to meet this year's quota.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's just more work on top of work.
Right.
When you didn't have time for work.
And then you get it done one time, and then you get a next storm burst, and it's filled back in again. So some of the short term does kind of feel like it's the mitigation, like Andrew was talking about, filling in those gaps, does kind of feel like it's a never ending cycle. We clean it out, it fills in, clean it out, fills in. So we are also working with some folks to kind of look at more long term solutions that will be a lot costlier to implement. We don't have all the answers for that yet. We're finishing up kind of the first round of assessment on that to then kind of dig down into, okay, if we do some sort of a catchment up here, will that prevent some of the issues downstream?
Mm-hmm.
And what would that need to look like to be successful? We don't want to just throw money in to something that then isn't successful, even though that's kind of what it feels like we're doing with the short-term mitigation. But we recognize that up front, that this is to buy us time so we can keep running our operation, keep and kind of try to maintain some level of watershed health, water quality health, while we try to figure out what we need to do for a more long-term solution.
What's the shed look like right now?
You know, in places, like Andrew said, we've got areas choked with cobble, ash, sediment. In some places, it looks pretty good. In others, we're still kind of waiting to see.
Yeah.
We did do some additional water quality monitoring this last year, and just to be honest, and I know I said this to you the last time we met in October, still trying to dig through that data, but it's we have some other grant deadlines and things that we have to meet in the meantime.
So understood.
We're working on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't have a good sense yet of really what came out of that water quality monitoring.
Mm-hmm. But it's being compiled.
Being compiled, and nothing stood out obvious, you know, and
right.
When I took a glance, I was like, I didn't see anything that was like, oh, we really need to be careful of that. But I definitely have not taken time to go through it yet either. So I want to make sure that's recognized.
Yeah. So many people depend on that. That's a fine tooth comb report.
Right.
I mean, that's one that we got to be careful with. Now, have you guys, and I'm kind of getting off on a side tangent here. I know.
That's
but Acme Power Plant.
That is a side tangent. but okay.
I've heard good things, though.
We're making some progress. We did get some, as we mentioned previously, we were working on the asbestos removal in the building that was going to include a partial demolition of the one side where the roof was collapsing. When we got to that point and had all the asbestos removed out of the parts we could, there were some challenges, additional challenges identified with that partial demolition. So we've spent a lot of the last year really kind of talking about alternatives and how to address that and pivoting a bit to a different. And so now it looks like we're going in here just in the last month. We've kind of had some of the final decision pieces from EPA that have come together and the approvals, some funding pieces that will allow us to now move forward with full demolition of the building, which is about the only way we can get to that partial demolition and fully get to that asbestos piece. We're going to try to maintain some features, whether it's a a half wall or a chimney or a something that so that we can still memorialize that site.
Yeah.
But all of the contamination will be addressed through that demolition.
That's rough.
So it's a long term, and it is. Yeah, it's been a long term project, a long haul, but we should within the next year have that contamination piece addressed.
There should at least be a little window on the informative plaque that you make just talking about the conservation district's efforts to make all of this happen.
It's not just our effort. I want to be clear about that. While we are kind of coordinating the effort, there are a lot of partners in the ACME working group. Again, similar to the collaborative, the district really doesn't, within RCS, doesn't do anything on our own. We like to kind of just help steer the ships a bit and pull all of the pieces together. And a lot of times you need one place to manage the funds or the resources that are coming through, and we can serve that role pretty well. So I don't want to say it's just our thing. We've had a lot of participation from other members of the community as well.
Well, I've run out of time with you guys. One more question before I let you go. A real quick answer on this one. The virtual fencing symposium.
Yeah.
Interested?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
It'll be in
Gillette January 8th.
It's a huge lift for capability for grazing management, reducing wildlife impacts, taking that next step that we've talked about with the collaborative, and how do we get to the next level of management and beneficial impacts on the landscape.
Well, it's really shaking stuff up.
And we do have some folks around trying it through kind of coordinated with the land trust, but they're excited. They enjoy it. It's like when I watched them the other day, I said, you're just like a kid the day after Christmas playing with your new little toy.
That's fantastic.
And just love it. I mean, just being able to do that. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
I want to thank you both so much for coming in here. I got to have you guys on more. I always end up having such a good time and learning so much. I greatly appreciate you both. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The team at First Federal Bank and Trust is once again partnered with Sheridan Media for our annual Christmas Wish campaign, a campaign to help people who've fallen on temporary hard times.
Our team at First Federal Bank and Trust is committed to helping individuals and families in our community who need a helping hand up. Our commitment has been and continues to be our community. In years past, the Christmas Wish program has provided gift certificates for groceries, gifts for children, and paying bills. I invite you to join the First Federal Bank and Trust team in supporting the Christmas Wish campaign.
Mossholder's annual snowflake sale has begun. Just like every year, every customer will save at least 10%, but several will receive discounts of 50, 20, and 30% off. One lucky customer will receive half off their entire purchase. It's easy to save. Once you've selected all the furniture or bedding you'd like to buy, you get to choose an ornament of your choice, and inside, a snowflake reveals how much you save. The snowflake sale runs through December 23rd and is good for in-stock and special order purchases. That's Mossholder's annual snowflake sale, going on now. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM KROE.